Well, that song fits perfectly well with what I'll be talking about today, and His love is enough. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, as we dig into Your Word, the truth of Your Word, and God, who we are because of who You are, Lord, I just pray that anything that I say, Lord, would get cast off to the side. But Lord, I pray that You would speak to me, that Your Word would be plainly evident, and Your truths would be heard and spoken to the hearts of the people. Lord, You are a great and mighty and glorious God. You're a God who loves broken, messed up people. Father, as we worship through hearing Your Word, I pray that You would break our hearts, break our spirit, Lord. That You would cut off any calluses that we have of our hearts, or even give us new hearts if we need it. Lord, be with us today, and we pray these in Your name. Amen. So I find it interesting that a lot of times, I've got five kids. If you didn't know, they're the loud, obnoxious ones. I don't know where they get that from, maybe me. When they were little, some observations I've made is you offer them a cookie. It could be a whole cookie, and then you offer one a broken cookie, and they won't want the broken cookie, even if it might be bigger than the full cookie, because they're like, whoa, wait a minute, that's a broken one. I don't want that. I want the whole cookie. Even if it's smaller, it doesn't matter. And it's funny, though, because they won't eat the broken cookie, but they'll eat a broken crown, so that's fun. But I don't know what it is about it, but I think part of the reason is because brokenness, it's ugly to us. We don't like brokenness. We're like, hey, why can't I get the whole thing? You know, we don't like brokenness. And honestly, I think that, when we go through life, brokenness is not what we're aiming for. We cringe when we think, oh no, you know, I dropped my phone. And then you hear that little tink. Huh. We cringe when we think it might be broken. And you can go ahead and go to the next. There we go. We cringe when we might think it's broken. Some time ago, the Xbox came. Long time ago, the Xbox came out, and that used to be the horror sign. Is when you see that red ring of death, you're like, for some guys, it was the end of the world because their Xbox no longer worked. Or even how about breaking a bone? I've never broken a bone, but I heard it's painful. I wouldn't know. I drink lots of milk and all that. I don't know if that even helps, but that's what I'm going to attribute it to. We live in a broken world. We're a broken people who live in a broken world. We hurt when people break their promises to us, and our world seems to just come to end when our hearts are shattered, and most of us, the problem is we fear when we are broken. It can leave us fearful, anxious, stressed, depressed, constantly hurting, stressed to the point of breaking. You see, we struggle just to make it through life. We live in a world that is just broken all around us. And sometimes we ourselves are just barely hanging on by a thread. And I shared earlier that sometimes that God speaks to us just as much. I want to share with you today, what if brokenness wasn't a bad thing? Because I'm going to be honest with you, there's some times where God, you know, like I said, God prepares the pastor's heart. God prepares our hearts for these sermons just as well. And there are some times where we read God's word and we're confronted with it just as much as you. So don't worry. If you are anxious, if you are fearful, if you're stressed, if you're depressed, you are not alone. I know that for many of us, the thoughts of brokenness, thoughts of brokenness, it leads us down a dark alley that we probably don't want to go down. things that we don't want to remember, things that we're like, okay, that's in the past, the Hakuna Matata, I don't care anymore about it. It's all good. Let's keep on pressing on. And the problem is that the things in the past have forged us into the people that we are today. And as much as we'd love to just, you know, erase the past, we can't. It leads us to who we are today and what we continue to be. And these areas of brokenness could mean a dysfunctional family or abusive relationships, lack of love from people that you desperately love, broken marriages, moral train wrecks, being rejected or feeling unloved simply because you're too fat or too skinny. And maybe you have recollections of when you were younger, and maybe it was because of bad grades, or your mom didn't button your coat up right when you're heading outside. Maybe it was a messed up home life, or feelings of being unwanted. And I want to share with you, church, this is how I grew up in high school. No, my mom didn't button my coat, but that's another matter for another day. But I did have a messed up home life. See, I struggled through a good portion of my early life with feelings of anxiety, of depression, of hopelessness, anxious thoughts. And I'd gotten to the point in my brokenness where I was so overwhelmed that I began to hurt myself. I began to hurt myself, and then at one point I tried to take my life. These feelings, let me tell you, as you get older, sometimes they don't go away. Just because you're older doesn't mean that these sorry. Just because you're older doesn't mean that these feelings go completely away. I'd gotten so depressed, so worthless, and I felt like the world would be better off without me. And it wasn't until I finally realized that my worth wasn't based off of what I thought or what my parents didn't care about me. I realized my worth was based on the price that Christ paid. But it's still a burden. It's still difficult. There's some times where I still struggle with feelings of worthlessness and depression. And this isn't something I share with you because I want you to sympathize. Oh, poor Joe. No, these are feelings that I want to share with you because I want you to understand if you are going through life and you're struggling with anxiousness or depression, this way when I share this sermon with you, you don't say, well, what does he know? It's not for sympathy, but it's to empathize. Don't mind me, I can't talk this morning. I empathize. And we may not like to revisit these periods of brokenness, or maybe even you're going through a broken time right now. I want you to understand that I know what it means to be physically present but mentally away. I heard a preacher explain to it one time, it's like when you're going through depression, when you're going through anxiety, when you're feeling completely broken, that it's like your soul has a migraine. And if you've ever had a migraine, you know the pain. You know what it feels like. It feels like, oh, the light is too much light. The sound is too much sound. Everything around you is magnified. And when you're going through these feelings of anxiousness and depression, it feels like your soul, like everything is magnified. The smallest inconvenience seems like the biggest hurdle. And you feel like, how can I get through this? I can't struggle through this too. And let me tell you, again, you are not alone. I want to share with you a story in the Bible. It's probably one of my favorites. I really enjoy this story because it's the story of Elijah and his showdown on Mount Carmel. It's in 1 Kings 18, and we have this story, and it's this amazing account because Elijah's like, hey, let's have a showdown. Let's see whose God is bigger. Let's see whose God is greater. We're going to go ahead. We're going to have a showdown. You go ahead and get yourself a sacrifice. I'm going to get me a sacrifice, and whatever God answers, then we know that's who the real God is. And the other priests, they were like, yeah, let's do that. That sounds great. And so Elijah meets them at high noon. Well, at least that's what I imagine, right? He's like, got the showdown going on. And he's like, hey, go ahead. You guys get a head start. I'll wait for you guys. Just go ahead and get a head start. So 850 of their priests of Baal and Asherah, they're having this crazy worship service. They're screaming out to their God, oh God, please answer, consume the sacrifice. 850 of them. I just want you to imagine 850 people screaming for, this sacrifice to be consumed, to be taken away, and nothing happens, and I love Elijah's outlook on this, and he's like, hey, maybe if you scream louder, maybe he'll hear you. And so they're like, okay, so they get really, okay, he's giving them a hard time. He's basically trolling them, and they begin cutting themselves and hoping that their blood would excite the God so that he would be able to consume this offering. And still nothing. And I love what Elijah says. Elijah says, hey, maybe he's busy and he just can't hear you. And the way that he uses busy is the same translation that, when someone calls you up on the phone and you're in the bathroom, tell him I'm busy. Okay? So he's like, hey, maybe your God's on the bathroom and he just can't hear you. And so they scream harder and harder and harder and still nothing. And so finally Elijah's like, okay, well, it's time to wrap this up. Hey, do me a favor. He cuts up this offering, he gets it all ready, gets it prepared. He has the stones and everything, builds this altar, puts the animal on it. And he's like, hey, I've got an idea. You know what works well with fire? Water, right? Not usually. But instead he's like, hey, go ahead and fill up a big water jug, pour it on the offering. Do it again. Wait. One more time. And there was so much water that they had a trench that was dug around the altar, and it filled up the trench, and there was just a ton of water. Then Elijah just says, hey, God, will you show these people who you are? Will you show these people who you really are? And fire comes down from heaven, and it consumes the offering. And I love this part. And it consumes the water. But even better, it consumes the stones, because we all know that fire can destroy stones. Only when it's fire from heaven, I guess. So we have this amazing, amazing account of God showing up and doing something huge. And Elijah's like, hey, all these guys, all these priests, they're fake priests. I want you to destroy them, kill them, because they're leading you away from the one true God. And so they do. And then later on, Jezebel has to answer. She wants Elijah dead because of what he did. Like, I can't believe you killed my priest. I can't believe you made a mockery of my fake God. So Elijah, he runs away. He runs away into a cave, and this is where we come into a story. He runs away. He's fearful of his life. He gets depressed, and he wants to die. And this is where we find ourselves. This is in 1 Kings 19. He says he went on a day's journey into the wilderness, and he sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And he said, I have had enough Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. And then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. And suddenly an angel touched him, and the angels told him, get up and eat. And then he looked, and there at his head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord returned for a second time and touched him, and he said, get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you. So he got up, ate, and drank. And then on the strength from that food, he walked for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And I love this because Elijah, he desperately wanted to die. And this is sometimes how these things happen, is we get on this great, huge, amazing spiritual high. God does something amazing in our life, and then Satan likes to attack, and we crash hard. This is why almost every time when we come home from youth camp, I encourage students, look, you know, I know you've been going in. I know you've been doing your quiet time. I know you've been digging in your Bible, but you can't stop here. Just because you get home, I want you to be aware that there may be your family, there may be some people, there may be some struggles that you're going through that will turn and it'll rear its ugly head again, and let me encourage you to continue in God's Word. Continue to spend time with him, because right after this great, huge spiritual high, things are going to get hard. This is exactly what happened to Elijah. Even when he so desperately wanted to die, God gave him the strength to live. He showed him that he was loved, that he had a purpose. He gave Elijah for the strength for the path ahead. And sometimes we're going through our own crisis or our own feelings of brokenness, and we think, God, how can I ever make it through this? We ask God, would you please just heal my broken heart or mend my broken spirit, because I don't know if I can take another day. Sometimes we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel because all we see is darkness around us. We can't tell if our eyes are even open because all we see is dark. But when we're honest with ourselves and we actually face our brokenness, this can mean the difference between a breakthrough and a breakdown. Even Paul struggled. In 2 Corinthians 12, he explains, he's like, I asked God 3 times to remove this thorn, this struggle, this thing that I'm dealing with, and we don't know what it is that we're dealing with. A lot of scholars, they're like, hey, what exactly was it that Paul was struggling with? What is this thorn in his side? And he doesn't tell. I mean, let's be honest. If we were writing down things, most of the time, we don't want to just write it down and, hey, this is what I struggle with. If I were to ask you, hey, everyone do me a favor and get a piece of paper, write down the thing that is your greatest struggle right now, and turn that into the pastor. We're going to read them next week. How would you feel about that? Yeah, no thanks. And so Paul, he just says, I've got this thorn in my flesh. And I've asked God 3 times to take this away. We don't know what it is. It could have been physical problems. It could have been something else. But we know that this was something that he struggled with. This is how God responds after he asked to get his thorn removed from his flesh. God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Paul says, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me, so I take pleasure in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong. I know there's lots of times where we don't feel strong when we're weak. I know there's some times that We wonder, God, why am I going through this? But I want you to understand there is a reason for brokenness. There is a reason that God has to humble us and bring us low. We don't ever understand it at the time. And the great thing is in James, he's like, hey, consider it pure joy when you face these trials, these temptations, these difficult times. Consider it pure joy, because I know that my first thought when I'm going through my hard times is like, woo, this is awesome. Let me tell you, every one of us in this room is broken somehow, in some way. You know, we go through life telling people, you know, like, hey, how are you doing? You know that morning greeting, I meant to do it this morning. I meant to tell you guys to go find someone beautiful out there this morning. But I forgot, so don't mind me. But, you know those times where we greet one another and like, hey, how are you doing? I'm okay. Doing great. Doing good. Liar. Sometimes we go through life telling people that we're okay when in truth all we are is broken. Say, no, I'm fine. I'm okay. Because I don't have the time to tell you what's really going on in my life. Or I'm too ashamed to tell you how I'm really feeling. We try to pretend like, hey, I've got it all together. But we know the truth. We are broken. I'm broken. But let me tell you, when we begin to see God's purpose in brokenness is when we can fully embrace why we are breaking and why brokenness is a beautiful thing. The first thing is this, is we find salvation in brokenness. You know, Paul talked about this to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10. He says, I now rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance. For you were grieved as God willed, so that you didn't experience any loss from us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regard, but worldly grief produces death. And so when we're broken, we have to understand, why am I broken? Why am I struggling through life? Why does this hurt so bad? And sometimes we're broken because of our sin. Sometimes we're laid low because of something that's going on in our life that we haven't dealt with. You know, I think that a lot of people that they have tried Jesus, like, oh yeah, I tried the whole religion thing. I tried Jesus out one time, you know, talking like it's some sort of drug or something. Like, hey, yeah, I tried him out. He just didn't do anything for me. Didn't give me the high that I wanted. But let me tell you, I think one of the many reasons why people who try out Jesus or try out religion, they don't change because they're not truly broken. Because until we come to full understanding of who we are and our brokenness because of sin, we're never going to realize that we need a Savior. We're never going to realize that there is nowhere for me to go except for hell unless I deal with the sin issue. We don't really get the true life that Christ offers until we're broken. And that brokenness, it comes in many forms. Sometimes it's troubles or difficulties and just the difficulties of life. But we go to Jesus, we cry out for help, and we find restoration in the life that he offers. And sometimes it's not just because of the difficulties in life, but sometimes it's the burden of our own sin when we finally realize, you know what? I need a Savior. We go through life and we hit wall after wall. It's like we're a mouse in a maze, and we hit wall after wall after wall, and we realize this maze doesn't have an exit. except where it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and we hit wall after wall because we don't want to go there. Till we finally realize that the only way out of the maze is by looking up and trying to find real salvation. The more that we are broken, the more that we experience the hope, the more that we experience His healing. He points this out in front of the adulterous woman. The person who's forgiven much, loves much, right? And when we finally come to grips with how much He's forgiven us for, all of our sins, not just all the sins that we've done in the past, but all the sins that we plan on doing or don't plan on doing, or all the sins that we even think about, and He forgives those. Sometimes God has to lay a person low in order for their pride to get in the way. Because let me tell you, sometimes the most selfish people are people that are hurting, people that are broken, because we long for someone to make it better or something to make it better, and we grab onto things, we cling onto things. It's Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, and the righteous are as bold as a lion. Sometimes we run to things to make us feel whole or complete or better. When God is like, hey, I can do that. I can make you new. I can make you whole again. Brokenness can lead to salvation. Sometimes we think that we can save ourselves and we chase after these things. Or we think, man, maybe if I just hold it all in, I can do life alone. And honestly, we don't really understand what real life is until we know Christ. Jesus forgives our sin. He makes all things new. The broken become a new creation. The second is this, there is beauty in brokenness. And sometimes we don't feel very beautiful when we're broken. Think, oh man, why would anyone want to be near me? Why would anyone want to see this mess of my life that I'm making? You know, I shared with the students while we were at camp some of the struggles that I had gone through and some of the things I shared with you this morning. I said, the reason why we share it is because it becomes a part of our story. It becomes a part of us being able to tell others, this is what Christ did for me when I felt worthless. He put a price on my head that couldn't be beat. When I was broken, He continued to heal me. And let me tell you, we have to be honest. We can't go through the motions and pretend, oh yeah, I'm doing good, doing great, you know. Oh, I'm perfect, you know. We come to church and we put our church face on, we put our church clothes on, and we pretend like everything's okay. But honestly, I think this is one of the biggest struggles that the younger generation has, is because we try to pretend like we're okay, but we're not. We have to show authenticity. Not just us up here who stand in behind the pulpit, but all of us. Too many people, when people come to church, they think, oh yeah, that person, you know, who goes to church, oh, they're a godly man. And let me tell you, there was one godly man. But hallelujah, His righteousness is imputed into us. Where we can't be godly, He is, as Brother Greg said last week, He is our goodness when we are not good. Transparency, authenticity, this is what we need. No one is perfect. You know, I'm tired of, you know, people saying, the church is full of hypocrites. It is. But you know what? The church is full of broken people who found healing, who found life. And we can't hide our story and say, oh no, everything's just great. Christian life is not easy. Matter of fact, it's going to be more difficult once you accept Christ in your life, because he's like, hey, the world used to love you when you were living in it. But now that you're following me, the world's going to hate you. And it's going to be a struggle. He's like, but don't worry, because just remember, they hated me first. And it's beautiful because it becomes a part of our story, a part of our life that we can share with others, because there's a world of broken people out there. Some of the things that you're struggling with is something that someone else is struggling with. And even though we try to hide it, try to pretend like everything's okay, what if that person needs to hear your story? That's where the beauty comes in. Got a little video I want to share with you guys just to kind of show this beauty and brokenness. It is in our brokenness that his light is able to shine through us. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, we may not feel especially beautiful in our brokenness, but it is when we are broken and use our brokenness to shine his light, we can be a brighter light into the world. We can share with those who are hurting, those who are desperate for life, meaning, so that we can boast of his greatness, his mercy, his love, his compassion. And finally is this, there's power in brokenness. They had a book, they did a study, and they called it The Cradles of Eminence. And there's a book, there's what it looks like. And basically, they researched 700 different famous people, okay? And they said that the top 300 some of the most prominent ones, these ones that made it to the top, they're brilliant in their field, like Franklin D. Roosevelt, Helen Keller, Winston Churchill, Albert Schweitzer, Clara Barton, Gandhi, Einstein, Freud, and they investigated their early home life, and these are some of the findings that they found. 3/4 of the children were troubled by poverty, by a broken home, or by rejecting or over-possessive, dominating parents. 74 of the 85 writers of fiction or drama, 16 of the 20 poets, they came from homes where they saw just really difficult psychological and drama played out. Many of them had physical handicaps, such as blindness, deafness, crippled limbs, and it was characterized by over 1/4 of the sample. And let me tell you, it is through our difficult times that we grow. It is through our hardships and our difficulties that we are able to finally become something more than we used to be. I mean, look at the Bible. We have Moses who's so totally messed up. I mean, he's a murderer. He went out, he got so angry that he killed a man, covered it up, thought he could get away with it, was found out, and yet God still used him to rescue Israel from slavery. Or King David, a man who's known as God, a man after God's own heart. And who gave him that nickname? God did. He was brought low by failure, by disgrace. And yet God said, I'm still going to use you. And he wrote many psalms. And he wrote, and he became one of Israel's greatest kings. Okay? We also have Saul in the New Testament. Or as I tell the students, Saul Paul. Who is a man who was consumed by hunting down these people who claimed to be followers of Christ, much so to the point of that he wanted them dead. And yet he became one of the greatest apostles. Charles Spurgeon once said that it's not a curious thing that whenever God means to make a man great, he always breaks him in pieces first. You see, when we are broken, God says, you know what, now you're humble. Now I can finally use you. We can get yourself out of the way. And maybe the world can see me instead of you. Brokenness helps to squish our selfishness. This is why Paul is telling the church in Philippians 4. He's like, Philippians 4, 4 through 7. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you missed it the first time, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. Okay, thanks, Paul. That makes everything better. Just remember that. Just don't worry about anything. Or if you have a different translation, he says, don't be anxious about anything. That's easy for you to say. It's not like he went through anything, right? He says, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you're having problems with anxiousness, pray. If you're worrying about things in life, pray. If you're struggling some more, pray some more. Because I don't know about you, but there's some times where we go through life, we think, man, I could fix this, I can make this better, I could do this, I can make this happen, and God's like, whoa, calm down. I'm in control, not you. We think, I can just shoulder this burden. I can go through this. And God's like, no, you're going through this for a reason. If you just shut up, get yourself out of the way, and listen to me, I can use you. I know it doesn't happen much here in Texas, but if you've ever been to a place where it snows, you'll often find that the trees that get the most damage, like the elm, are ones that are rigid. And then when they become weighted down, they break. This is why a lot of times you find the ones that thrive the most in northern environments are pine. It's because a lot of times what happens when they become weighed down with the weight of ice or snow, they droop. They bend down. And eventually the snow, the ice, it comes off. And they're able to stand again. Too many times we're like the elm, saying, you know what, I can shoulder this. I can bear this burden. I can do this. I can make it through. And too often we try to make it through without God. The power that we find in brokenness comes from learning what it means to be broken, why we need to be broken, and who we turn to when we're broken. This power comes from God and our willingness to relinquish ourselves and give Him our all. So let me tell you, church, it's hard to admit sometimes that you're broken, that you're hurting, that you're anxious, that you're struggling through life. I understand. But we need to embrace our brokenness because it's a part of our story so that we can tell a lost and broken world who brings restoration. Who brings redemption. We need to point to the Savior who brings life. We need to allow God to take our brokenness and make us something that's better. Our first impulse sometimes is to patch it up. Cover it up. But if we want to reach the lost for Him, if we want to go out there and tell a desperate world that there's hope, then sometimes it means we have to show them who our hope is and who our hope continues to be. His power is made perfect in our weakness. Every one of us is broken in one way or another. And we need to determine, am I going to have a breakdown or am I going to have a breakthrough? Will I allow Christ to use me or not? In just a minute, they're going to come up. They're going to have an invitation. And let me tell you, church, whether you come down this altar or not, it doesn't matter. Because I know that there are times at camp where students come down and they said, hey, I've made my decision to follow Christ for the 12th time today. And there's some people who come down the altar, whether it's open or not. And there's some people who will never come down to the altar. You know, I praise God that we don't have to be in a certain place to come before the Lord. Not anymore. Now we can go before Him, whether you're sitting there or whether you're down here on your knees. And I pray that as God speaks to us, that you would be willing to be used. That you'd be willing to share your brokenness to a world that's broken. Let's pray. Father God, God, we can't thank you enough for all that you've done. You've sent your Son to bring redemption, to bring restoration to a broken, messed up world. Lord, I pray that if we need it, bring us low. Break us We need you, Lord. Sometimes we're so prideful that we fail to acknowledge you in every moment and every step of our life. So, Father, I pray that you would use us. Use our brokenness. Use our weakness so that the world can see what you can do. Lord, you are a great and mighty King. So much greater than what we deserve. But we thank you. We praise you. We pray these in your name. Amen.